America's top diplomat is straining to find help for an even more violent country. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is visiting Persian Gulf nations seeking support for their neighbor, Iraq. The U.S. wants Iraq's neighbors to offer money. Maybe just as important, the U.S. wants Iraq's neighbors to show up. Many still haven't opened embassies there, and Iraq's prime minister is complaining that so many have yet to send ambassadors to his government.
We're going to talk more about this now with Ambassador David Mack. He's a former State Department official who's now with the Middle East Institute, a think tank here in Washington. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
Why is it such a hard sell for the U.S. to persuade Arab nations to send ambassadors to Baghdad?
Well, first of all, there's the very obvious reason, sometimes forgotten by Americans, that this is a very, very dangerous place to be putting your diplomats. As dangerous as it is for Americans, it's probably more dangerous for Arab diplomats. The Jordanian embassy was one of the first international establishments that was attacked by terrorists. And there have also been several Arab diplomats who were either kidnapped or killed in terrorist incidents. So they've obviously been very spooked by this, strictly on a physical security basis.
But let's say that that is taken care of. Are there other concerns?
Yes. The Arab states, by and large, have considerable doubts about the Maliki government. They view it as being under very heavy Iranian influence, as being a rather narrow coalition of Shia Iraqi religious parties and the two principal Kurdish parties. They are struck by the fact that a lot of Iraqi diplomats over previous years who were either secular Shia or Sunni Arabs are on the outs and are pretty much excluded from the current government.
So is this another dimension of this Sunni-Shia divide about which we've heard so much inside Iraq? You've got Sunni governments outside Iraq that don't really want to deal with the Shias who are running the place.
You know, Steve, I think it's less a Sunni-Shia issue than it is an issue of who is close to the Iranians. The Shia politicians who succeeded in the elections of January 2005 were closely identified with Iran, in many cases had been exiled in Iran for a long period of time. Their parties and militia groups had received financial assistance, refuge, training, weapons from various elements of the Iranian political system.
Although, wait a minute, couldn't you make the opposite argument? If you were an Arab government in, say, Saudi Arabia, couldn't you say, hey, these Iraqis have been supported by the Iranians, the Iranians have been reaching out to them, we better show up and play that game and give them an alternative?
In fact, I think that is the argument that has been made, which is that you are driving the Maliki government into the arms of the Iranians since they don't have any other neighbors to turn to for support against the various militias and terrorist elements, both Shia and Sunni, that are attacking their government.
And the Arabs say?
Well, the Arabs are having difficulty deciding. The intelligence on this is murky, whereas in previous decades, when I was an ambassador in the region, U.S. intelligence was the virtual gold standard. Our diplomats, including Secretary Rice, don't have that kind of credibility anymore. The mistakes that were made, or the distortions of American intelligence, exaggerations of American intelligence in the lead-up to the Iraq War and in various circumstances involving Iran, have greatly reduced the credibility that we have when we make statements based upon our understanding of the evolving political situation.
David Mack of the Middle East Institute, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.